sound good. We sound sexy. I'd hit it.
Yeah. Like I said, we need more women on the podcast.
Time to dick was -2 seconds. We haven't even started.
You know what we need? We need like an audio cue. What is the oh god, dun dun. What's the
chime?
2001 Space Odyssey.
Mm.
Or it's like usually when there's a moon landing. Dun dun dun
dun. Dun.
Yeah,
that song.
We need
what
one
about
of those.
It?
Like, and we need that musical cue. Like when we get to dick,
play plays that. After that's every time.
Cheers. Yeah.
That'd be so yeah, long. Like, it's like oh. Sex Joe comes. Let's put aside a minute and a half for that song to fucking play.
Yeah, so you've got it like building to it, and then like dun, dun, like right when the dick joke comes.
Oh, okay.
We
okay.
did it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that the base of the whole episode. The whole episode would be like constant slow builds to the dick joke, constantly.
Constantly. The other thing that kind of sucks was I didn't see until. Well, I guess today that you guys didn't get to see Invincible, so I called this episode like Invincible Falcon News, but apparently not. Apparently not.
It sucks. So. I've been trying to watch it for days, and it, very frustrating.
Yeah, don't watch that with
yes.
Yeah. I finished that episode
it
yesterday.
No, I know.
Is it super adult?
It's very R-rated.
It's not. You know, super adult.
It's going to be, I assume, based on the.
I remember. I want to say 2009. I got a. I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and they were handing out free episodes of the Invincible motion comic. Mm. And I remember, I think it aired on MTV or something, and that was my first exposure to it. And I just remember I watched it, and I was like, I don't like this. I'm sure my opinion would change now, but it was mostly just because it felt like a comedy based on that first episode. And it was just like, you can't do this. You're not invincible. And then I was just like... Okay.
You won't like the show then.
No.
Because that same joke exists in the show.
Well, I'm sure it does because it's from the comic. Like that makes sense. Yeah. That it would, but I mean, I think that now knowing that that the show is probably like deeper than that, than just sort of surface level goofy shit, I might be up for it.
Should I tell
so
him?
That joke punctuates like every opening of the show.
Oh.
They don't. That's when the opening credits happen. It's funny. Sometimes they're like 30 minutes into the show. The first time someone says Invincible, it cuts to the title card. Invincible doesn't even say the word.
Where they are.
And there's more blood splattered on it each episode.
So I like that. That sounds funny.
It's funny. Like the first time they did it, it's like funny. The last 10 minutes of the first episode. It's like I think I'll call myself, and it's like, and like the screen shoots up with like Invincible on it.
And that's why I was laughing because you were like, oh, it's like a comedy. I was like,
like I didn't watch enough of it to like. Make an educated guess about it. It was all uneducated assumptions.
And I actually just finished the second compendium, and I'm on to the third, so I will finish the comic book, which I'm excited about. So, you guys ready to start the show? This is the show. Well, let's actually start the show. Hello, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier and flagship podcast of LRM Online. I'm your host, Brendan Jones, and I got the boys. And I had this whole thing all lined up. I was like, ready. I was going to say, like, hey, Jammer's got a hard time, and we're going to, like, speed through this. And then Jammer was like, hey, I don't have a hard out anymore. So now all of my work is just kind of wasted, which is all very exciting. But anyway, here we go, I guess. We've got Danny K. Bartlett, Nick Dahl, Joseph Jammer Medina in the room. Gents, how y'all doing?
All good here.
Good.
Awesome.
Did you guys ever see that cartoon? I don't think it was called The Boys. What was it? There was this kid who'd invented all these robots, and his name was Ziv Zoolander. ZZ for short.
Oh.
No.
I don't remember.
No. I watched a movie called Small Soldiers with Tommy Lee Jones and Kirsten Dunst.
No, this is older
this
than
got
that.
Changed
and David
subject.
Cross.
Yeah. His tagline was, it's laser time, boys. So I was going to call you guys. That's all. It's like,
oh.
You still can. It's just we won't have a clue.
You still can do it.
The same. You know, because I can talk at a snail's pace, it doesn't matter. But anyway, I'm still going to do the headline, so I'm going to burn through this real quick. So
thank God you talk at a snail's pace, because it's not like we don't have a lot of news to get through.
We do have a lot of news.
We can do it, though. It's going to be barely
news. We got this.
Or whatever it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. In any given week, there are a ton of things happen. We have to pick and choose. For whatever reason, this past week was particularly voluminous, at least in my opinion. You guys might have thought the news shit. But I'm going to burn through some geek news that I think this needs to know. And if you guys want to chime in, feel free to chime in. If not, then we'll just keep it moving onto our main topic. But the headlines that we've got right now. So The Witcher Season 2 has wrapped. And we found out recently that the episodes are going to be coming before the end of the year. So we got a short teaser from Netflix, and it was hosted by the showrunner Lauren Schmidt Hirsch. Probably tore that name up. But she gave us a brief glimpse of the show, and so we know that before the end of the year, we will be tossing coins to our Witcher on Netflix before 2021 closes out. So that's some good news to enjoy that show. Also, we got two pieces of Spider-Man news. We got the fact that No Way Home, threequel in the Tom Holland series, the MCU Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire's Spanish voice dub actor, Roger Pera, has confirmed that he's going to be involved in the threequel. Seemingly confirm Maguire's fourth Spidey flick. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, this shit is happening. I don't care what anybody says. They are lying if they're denying it. They're lying. They're denying and lying. Denying and lying is what they are.
It's always these damn like Spanish voice dubs people who ruin it. Yeah, Evan Peters is in this because I did his dub as Quicksilver.
Nick Dahl. Yeah. Quote Nick Dahl. Those fucking Mexican people. I'm kidding. Nick did not say that.
I said damn, first of all.
I know you didn't, but I just totally said something you did not say. To be clear.
So can we use that quote from you?
Isolated voice actor news. We've got Christopher Daniel Barnes, who played Spider-Man in the Fox cartoon that lasted from 1994 to 1998, confirming his involvement in Into the Spider-Verse. So it looks like we're going to get another crossover in that Spidey sequel.
Wait, whose involvement?
Christopher Daniel Barnes. He is the individual who played Spider-Man in the Fox cartoon. So yeah, it looks like, again, we've got Christopher Daniel Barnes confirming his involvement in Into the Spider-Verse. So we've got two Spider-Man voice actors who are confirming leaks, news, interesting things for these sequels. So Spider-Man No Way From Home, that's going to be dropping in December of this year. And Into the Spider-Verse is coming sometime next year in 2022. So that should be pretty interesting. The
Spider-Verse.
Spider-Man. That was the worst song ever.
What was it? I think I feel nostalgic about it. I think that's what.
Did you guys ever hear the that the X-Men original the X-Men animated series song was plagiarized from this what country is it? Some European live action show where it's like if you actually listen to compare them, it's like, oh, they stole that shit. It sounds exactly the same.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Look it up. Google it.
I remember what that theme was like.
The Metal Gear Solid theme.
X-Men.
No, it was.
I don't remember how it goes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was iconic.
Yeah.
It's really not. Spider-Man one. Doesn't know it. It's not that
iconic. Well, once you did it, I'm like,
I just imagine, like, play that back. Arr, in slow motion, the same yell.
I'm that stupid machine from Godzilla King of the Monsters. I'm that orca. Just play my different sequences, and I can control monsters.
I've only watched that movie once 2 years ago, so I don't remember what the fuck you're talking
about. I've only
watched
it once also, but it was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that movie. I don't even think I made it through the first one.
That was the plot device.
Super boring.
Yeah. I've just found out it was a Hungarian police show called Linda the Police Woman.
Yep.
Allegedly, the song was stolen from, and the creator has actually filed a lawsuit with Marvel, apparently. Linda the Police Woman. Catchy name. Catchy title.
This is new news.
No, this is like a year ago, maybe more.
Old school news. Yeah.
But the lawsuit.
I mean, lawsuits take a while, right?
Well, if it's Disney, that means they wait until Disney owned it to start the lawsuit because Disney has deeper pockets.
Well, you know, it's still.
Oh, Marvel. No, it's Marvel.
Interesting.
Original news was reported end of September 2019, so we're well over.
Yeah, that's still into 18. That lawsuit is new. That's interesting. We'll find out.
But yeah, I recommend looking it up and listening. Looking up and listening to it side by side, it's uncanny, just like the X-Men.
Okay. The uncanny, like the X-Men?
We did it!
Boom!
We did it!
Just stop the show. Just stop the show. We're done.
That's it.
We did it.
Drop, everyone drop their mics.
I'm out. George Costanza's
not you, Jonesy, because yours is low already. Yours is too low.
Mine's low. Mine's low.
Don't drop your mic.
Do I?
So anyway, Spider-Man.
I also wanted to do this kind of interesting box office check. So because Danny loves Coming to America 2 so much, or Coming to America, I wanted to do this, and I just wanted to pitch this to you guys and just have you listen to it, see if you had anything to say about it. So all right. The Eddie Murphy sequel racked up 1.4 billion minutes of viewing during the first week of March, so 1 through 7 March, and it gave Amazon its first Nielsen win, which I thought was pretty interesting, especially when you compare it to what's happening with Godzilla versus Kong right now in the theaters. So that film, probably as of right now, so at the end of last weekend, it had grossed $285 million worldwide. $76 million of that was from overseas. And so given that it's probably at the point of this recording, across $300 million, I think it's a guaranteed sequel. But that's a separate thought from the comparison I want to make. Does it seem like people are just really, really, really ready to get back to them?
Yes.
Is that happening? It's happening, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not stopping it.
Yep. The reason why I could tell is because I'm fucking ready to go back to the theaters. And a year and a half ago, I was just like, psh, I'll be at home. Fuck theaters. And I was just like, get me outside. Get me outside of my house. Get me in a chair and get me in and out of my draft house. Exactly. So yeah, I can guarantee that, yeah, it's once herd immunity kicks in, which seems like good news all around, at least in America, that's probably going to set in. What? Good news in America?
Herd immunity.
No, it
what
is.
Do you mean that's not a thing?
CDC's it's related to vaccinations. It's not going to happen by itself.
I see.
Yeah. Because of
different
vaccinations,
than what
they're speeding
someone
up.
Someone else was saying and using.
They're really speeding up. Like they originally were going to have vaccinations come in May 1st or May 31st, but now it's just like now everyone go get your vaccinations. Get that
that's
herd
Colorado.
Immunity going.
We were actually
it's a country too across
the whole
country
did it too. Sweden. Colorado or was May 1st, and then Colorado changed
Switzerland
it.
Just now is Sweden.
I think it's April 18th actually for the whole U.S.
Okay.
So like things are moving up, and yeah. So my point is that hopefully by August or so,
August or so,
we'll be going back to theaters in droves.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
So then my question is, do you all think that Black Widow was a little premature?
Maybe, but there is also other content that they're needing to get out, and I think they're at this point where, like, well, Sony is releasing Spider-Man, so we just have to make sure it gets before that. We also have Falcon and Winter Soldier and Loki, and let's just get the pipeline going. It's like the last one. Let's just get it out there. I think probably it was a bit premature, but like maybe they're just over it and it's like let's just get this out.
Premature moving it? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, because they seem like they moved it, and then all of a sudden things started to get better.
I wouldn't have left it in May if I was Disney. I would make sure everything's once fully back, so I don't have someone saying my Marvel movie is a flop or something.
Yeah, I'll get to see Black Widow in theaters. I'm going to do my darndest to see it in theaters, because I will be fully vaccinated by then.
That's exciting. And we will talk about that a little bit more, because we got a new trailer this week. But I want to hit something else real quick first. So this past week, 5 April happened, and so some of you may or may not know this, but in Star Trek lore, that is First Contact Day. So 5 April 2063 mm-hmm. is the day that the Vulcans landed on Earth and met Zefram Cochrane and everyone else that helped build the ship with the first warp drive that was created by humans. So Viacom and Paramount and all those folks have adopted this to be First Contact, and they released a lot of announcements, Star Trek releases. So we got stuff that relates to Discovery and Lower Decks, Star Trek Prodigy, which is the new Captain Janeway show. And I wanted to ask Nick, primarily because you're relatively new fan of Star Trek. So we're going to go this way. We're going to go Nick, Danny, and then Jammer, because I also have a separate question for Jammer. Of the things that they announced, so we got a trailer for Star Trek Discovery, we got a trailer for Lower Decks. Now, we found out that Q is coming back to not only Star Trek Picard, but also to the Lower Decks. I'm curious, of the announcements, what are the things, Nick, that excited you the most?
Out of what the new stuff they added, I mean, I can't really I'm the most excited for one they didn't talk about, Strange New World. So the ones they just talked about, Discovery Season 4. I thought Discovery Season 3 was kind of a little bit of a rocky season and like finding its feet again in a new century. But Season 4 looks very much like the second season, where it's like, okay, we got this one thing going on, and we'll have some spinoff episodes that don't have to to deal with this bigger plot. But yeah, the plot in the trailer is there's a 5-light-year across thing that's moving. Yeah, that'll rip apart like space and time and stuff, and they can't tell where it's going to move next. So even the people who have left the Federation in the last 1,000 years are like, the Vulcans want back. Well, the Vulcans need the Federation's help because they weren't very trustworthy in the last season of each other. And yeah, it looks good. Obviously, I'm excited for Lower Decks too. Prodigy, I haven't seen it in stuff on. And it's Nickelodeon, so I was planning on just not watching it. But it was interesting they're bringing in a different press character.
Okay.
And, Picard, I just find it interesting that it's an interesting time to have a trailer that ends with a Q at the end. I know it's a Star Trek trailer and people know that, but it ends with a Q. And you're like, and I rewatched Q-Anon the Detective
confirmed, baby.
And I rewatched the Detective Chinatown 3 trailer last night. And again, it's like, we have to find Q. And you're like, this is a weird time for Q. For Q. Like, yeah. You almost think Star Trek would have avoided it.
I'm sure Q thinks it's going exactly as Q and planned.
That reminds me of you mentioned Ryan George at the beginning, the pitch meetings guy. One of the jokes he had in the Godzilla one, who's like, it's like, oh yeah, it's a good thing we could show conspiracy theorists as good guys.
Yes.
Or something.
But yeah, I'm excited for all of it. I mean, we're in for like a time period where I'm gonna need a Star Trek weekly podcast because we're gonna have content like every week, just like Marvel, baby.
Okay. Danny, same question for you. So you're relative to Star Trek.
I was a fan of Deep Space Nine. That was probably my most favorite show of the, should we say, the newer series that came out after the original one. But since then, I've been a little bit dubious on that. I wasn't a fan of Picard. I gave it 2 episodes and kind of didn't bother any further. And then
you made first the right choice.
Apparently so. And then the first season of Discovery didn't sell me either. But it was thanks to you and thanks to Nick that I gave season two, gave it another shot and really enjoyed season two. So from the announcements that you just talked about, I'm going to have to say that Lower Decks is the one that intrigues me more because I'm finding that hugely entertaining. The others, I'm going to lean on you guys and go, well, I'm going to let Nick dive into this for 2 or 3 episodes and then tell me whether or not I should bother or not, because otherwise I'm not going to give it that time and effort. But that one with the new Janeway show, I knew nothing about. You just threw that on me. I have no idea. What's the premise behind that? Is this her when she gets back to Earth?
She's a holodeck program that's training young kids because it's a Nickelodeon show that's fully animated.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, well, there you go.
So it's like Nickelodeon introducing kids to Trek at a younger age. Because I think all the other characters they've shown pictures of are all funny-looking aliens. I don't think there's one human or one even Vulcan in the picture of the other characters they introduced.
So there you go. I'm not a huge Trekkie, but I'm enjoying some of the newer shows. But I will wait to see and hear what you guys have to say before I dive in. I'll lean on my expert friends as far as Star Trek's concerned.
I will say with the Lower Decks trailer, I love that Riker's already back in the trailer after his fantastic end of first Lower Decks. Where he's like... He's spoilers. Making music jokes.
Musical
and shit.
References.
Spoilers.
It's in the trailer.
Sorry. Just tell me how Walking Dead finishes.
Jammer, have you I know that you've seen all the J.J. Abrams films. I don't know how you generally feel about Trekdom though. Tell me
It exists.
Yeah.
It's not something that I rush to get it to jump into. It's a bit too cerebral for me. I like stupid explodey things, and so Star Wars is more my speed. I like stuff that's less intellectual and more heart, or more like archetypal. Yeah. That's a better way of saying it.
I think you like Discovery.
Jungian.
I probably I like
come from that show.
I watched the first 8 episodes of Discovery or something like that, and I liked it, but then we left the UK and didn't have access to it anymore because I'm not gonna subscribe to CBS All Access. So I mean, I probably would be watching it, but the more stuff that comes out, I'm just like, woof. It's just that list of things that I just don't know about is growing and growing and growing and growing. And that's fine. I'm glad Star Trek fans are finally getting what they want. It seems like they're super happy about it. Like, you guys are super stoked on it, which is awesome. It's just not something I'm ever sure I'll be a part of, but I'm happy for you guys that it exists.
Was there anything from First Contact Day that got your fancy, even if you're not going to be able to watch?
I feel like Lower Decks I'll probably be like checking out eventually, maybe, if it ever ventures away from a premium service, because it seems like the most accessible. in terms of like just fun and not a lot of investment in terms of time, but easy to get into. So that's the one maybe I would probably gravitate toward most. See the less heavy, more digestible show of the group, of the bunch.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to be the consensus Democrat here and say the same thing. So for me, Lower Decks is the thing that I'm looking forward to the most, mostly because it is a melding of two of my favorite things, Rick and Star Trek.
Oh, gross. So no, I feel like I can't, you just unsold wrong. It to me. You unsold it to me. I don't like Rick and Morty.
Well, there's no Rick and Morty creator on it. The guy who did create it, I already did the solar opposite speech before. The guy who did create it, I learned this week. He didn't just write for Rick and Morty and create solar opposites. He wrote for the final season of The Next Generation.
Yeah.
So he's a Star Trek and a Rick and Morty writer. So he is taking the two things, a former Star Trek and a former Rick and Morty writer and a new Star Trek writer. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm looking forward to it the most. I'm still not sold on the Discovery uniforms. So they have a different variant than they showed at the end of last season. And I'm not. Maybe it's just Burnham's because it looks too billowy.
I just like the colors. My costumes, my favorite costumes are still the OG ones, which is why it was cool to see Pike in season two. And I'm excited for Strange New Worlds, just the yellow and the stripes on the arm for Ryan.
They did a good job of updating those uniforms.
Yeah, they looked to me, Jones, when I first saw it, they looked to me like it was their dress uniform, but clearly it wasn't because they were using it in all of the shots and all of the scenes. Because you're right, it looks far too
formal, I
guess is a word. It doesn't look practical from an action point of view, from a everyday
and use. So I don't want to ruin it for you, but at the end of last season, that is the same thing that happened. So there's a uniform reveal at the end of this last season. And I said the same thing that you did. I was like, oh, that looks like a dress uniform. So I'm going to assume that that's not what we're going to see next season. And now we see what they're wearing. And one of my concerns initially was, I have a hard time imagining like going pew, pew, pew and running all over the place in that. This is just a colored version of the same thing. So before it was gray like everyone else's. And now it's, you know, it has the colors like Nick likes from the original series.
She's red. I don't know.
Actually, no, it's actually a melding. It's
kind of like Next Gen.
Yeah, it's Next Generation. Thank you. I'm not a fan, mostly because the action events don't seem to fit. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You need a better tailor in space.
Need a better tailor in space. We'll see what happens. So that's it for First Contact. We also got a buttload of trailers. And instead of going through them individually, I'm going to shout them out to you guys. And whichever ones you all individually think got your fancy, talk about.
Well, here's what I did, Jonesy. I labeled them into two boxes. They're either trailer trash or they can come to my preview party. So when I was looking for, I was literally putting them into two boxes. That's trailer trash. That's trailer trash. That's a preview party. That's a preview party. That's trailer trash.
Let's see.
TT or PP?
Yeah. There you go.
So Space Jam is definitely your trailer trash.
Trailer trash.
What?
It's funny.
That was an. It looks fun. That was an easy pick for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll watch it for free.
That's going to your party.
Sorry. What's going on? What's going to pitch party or preview party?
Loki's going to his preview party.
Yeah,
PP.
Oh, yeah. Loki's in my preview party.
I don't think
so
that you would say that Yasuke was trash.
That's trash. Yasuke.
Trailer Which trash. One? Only because I didn't have a third option.
Yasuke.
There's no on the porch option.
Really quick. Trailer. Okay, so here's the thing about Yasuke. I will say this. I love Lakeith Stanfield.
He does not sound good.
He does not sound good. He sounds really bad. I don't understand how.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah, it's an anime. Okay. It's an animated thing.
Film that I am having. So I guess we're going to do the thing. All right.
Let's do it.
So
I said another one. So
animated series coming from Netflix. And Yasuke is actually. So this is based off the true story, right, Jammer?
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure it is. So there is a true story of an African-American samurai in Japan. This seems to take that story and kind of move on.
Wait, was it African-American or African?
I'm sorry, African.
That wouldn't be African-American.
Okay.
Samurai.
I'm so accustomed to saying certain things. So African samurai, and this seems to take liberties with the true story and add a significant amount of supernatural to it. So there actually was going to be a live action of this film and have Chadwick Boseman in, because if you're going to get somebody to portray a famous black historical figure, who else would you get but Chadwick Boseman?
I don't know. Lakeith Stanfield in live action could be pretty cool too.
I'm joking, because Chadwick Boseman has played he's played James Brown, he's played Jackie Robinson, he's played oh God, what's wrong with me? Supreme Court Justice, name jumping out of my head. But he's played at least three famous black historical, Thurgood Marshall. God, brain, function. So that's the joke. The joke is that he has played multiple historical years. But anyway.
The best jokes need explaining.
They do, all the time. And so Lakeith Stanfield is taking up. So Lakeith Stanfield is taking up the reins in this animated version. And I got to agree with Jammer. Like, what I'm hoping is that some of what we saw was just out of sync, and whatever's happening when this actually comes out is better lined up, because I 100% said the exact same thing as you did. So
yeah.
I'm hoping there's something else.
I heard him and I was like, oh, why does he suck? That's like literally what I was thinking. Why is he not good in this trailer? And honestly,
what does that mean? Sorry, Jammer, what do you mean voice sucks?
He sounds stilted. He sounds like he's not in the room or in the moment. That was my impression. My impression is you hear him talk and you see like who he's talking to and what's happening, the action that's going on around him. And you're like, these two things, they don't seem like they're happening at the same time. Like his voice is not matching the action.
Stilted is the right word. I think stilted is definitely the right word. Yeah. I'd watch it and take a look. Like it's once you like hear it, it's hard to unhear. Me personally, I'm still disappointed that there's not going to be a Death Note 2, because he was awesome as L in that movie. If anyone saw that movie, he was fucking pitch perfect casting. Like, so I was astounded.
Him and Willem Dafoe, to me, were probably the best parts of that movie.
Definitely. Definitely. Both were great pieces of casting. And we know that's not happening again, because Adam Wingard is off doing, so he did Godzilla versus Kong and then fucked off to, what else did he sign up for again recently? Thundercats, which is
picked up
pretty
for that
good,
because
actually.
Because of Godzilla vs. Kong. You're like,
good
yeah,
for him.
I can see that.
I could see it too, but no Death Note 2, which is sad for me, because I'm the only person who liked that movie.
I think it had potential.
I enjoyed it. I had no idea on the source material, so I went in pretty fresh to that, and I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay.
The cartoon is super good.
So I'm with you, Jammer, but maybe... Was that maybe because I had no idea of the source material?
Yeah, because if you've read the manga or watched the anime... you know that the story itself is very much cat and mouse between two really smart people, and Light is not very smart in the movie. And there's not a lot of cat and mouse. There's some of it, but it's just kind of at the tail end a bit. They basically change his character completely. What they did do, I think, better in the movie, though, is they made Misa, whose name is not Misa, Mia, I think it was, in the movie. They made her character more interesting rather than just being sort of a lovesick idiot in the manga. So they made her more interesting, but she's awful. You're laughing. She's terrible in the manga.
No, I'm laughing at Nick. Look on Nick's face.
But yeah, so like that part, I think they did well by made her crazier and more manipulative in the movie.
Wait, and you're telling me Lakeith Seinfeld and Willem Dafoe were in this thing?
Stanfield.
Yeah. Seinfeld. Boom, 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 boom.
But yes, they are.
What is it with all these?
How about Nick? When we're both fully vaccinated, Nick, you can come over. You can watch Death Note. We can watch it together. Yeah.
If I can ever find a fucking vaccination.
Sign up for a waiting list through Kaiser.
I'm on 1,000 waiting lists.
Okay. Well, then I can't help you.
Well, then you
have to. Well, I signed up on a waiting list through Kaiser a few weeks back, and then I just got a thing saying, you're ready to schedule now, so you should probably be getting something soon.
I'd like to apologize to our audience for this HIPAA violation right now, as they have these conversations about their medical histories.
Oh, sorry, is this a HIPAA violation?
No, it's not. Not even close.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't think so.
Is it?
I don't
you sounded so serious
about.
When you said it. Is it?
Right? You say it with confidence. So, moving on from Yasuke.
Yasuke.
This is bound to happen.
Here. This is the only reason you're here, is to help us with names. That's why you exist.
Yeah, it's Yasuke.
Anyway, went into my trailer trash.
Let's wade into his trailer trash, into Space Jam, because I thought it was fun looking. I like that it's not a retread of the story, because You can't retread that story. I don't still understand why Don Cheadle likes children. No, why he likes to steal children. I don't understand what his motivations are. Who knows?
But I thought it was cool. King James. I'm like.
Anyways, I like that he was. You done, Nick?
Do I look done?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. You're finished. Unpredictable. You're unpredictable. You're like Jared Leto's Joker. I don't know what to expect. Okay.
Nobody does, not even Jared Leto.
God damn it. Okay. Now moving. What the fuck am I talking about? Space Jam. I thought it looked fun, and I like the fact that they don't just turn into 3D cartoons. It's like they transition into it. I was like, oh, okay. I can get with that. And yeah, it just looks like. It looks like a good time. That joke about Yosemite Sam shooting the ball was pretty funny. I did not expect to laugh at that, but I did laugh at that. And when I'm like, didn't you play basketball before? Come on, you're smarter than this. Apparently not. And yeah, it just looks like a good time. I'll watch it.
Those cameos.
I don't know if I was quite the same on. It definitely looks interesting. And I think the thing that I liked about it, the thing that turned me on it, because up until seeing the trailer, I was not into this at all. Seeing the trailer, what I do like is it seems like Warner Brothers is leveraging all of their, like Nick, you just said, their cameos, all of their properties are coming into
the play. Ready Player wanting it.
Yes. I was going to say it's a bad thing in this case.
I don't know.
Well, I read an article about it, and it's like, how many times is it clever? Because Lego Batman also did it, and even the director of Lego Movie threw some shade at them. Where it's like, well, we did it because I saw my kid playing with toys. And combining like Batman with other stuff. This just feels like at what point they've done it in this movie, Lego Batman, and Ready Player One. At what point is it just a commercial for Warner Brothers properties?
So Ready Player One was just a bad movie, but those other instances, I think they did it well.
Yeah, but like how many times are you, if you're no like how care. Many times are they
do
gonna
it
do
well.
That?
I don't care how many times you do it.
Oh, there you go, Jones. Yeah, I like that answer. That's a good answer. That's a nice boulder.
It's what?
Oh, that's a nice.
That boulder. Was a Shrek reference.
Oh.
So I think that was my thing, the fact that they are leveraging all their properties. And I also think the fact that Zendaya has signed on to this movie raises it in quality.
I agree.
Because she doesn't do shit. And so for me, the fact that she's in this movie as Lola Bunny makes me think that she has signed on to something that she thinks is going to do well. Or not do well, but at least be good. So those are all the things that happen. I was like, maybe this will be okay. And again, Don Cheadle is a bad guy. I'm in.
That's what sold me on it the first time I watched the trailer. I was like, or even the
it just
teaser
had some
for the
good
trailer.
Energy to it. Yeah. It had some good energy to it. Like it wasn't
remix
good.
Of the original
it wasn't
song.
Great, but it was just it felt inviting to me, colorful and just like a good time. And I can understand your point, Nick, but I think the fact that Warner Brothers have always been Warner Brothers. That's not what I meant to say. Looney Tunes have always been kind of like super tongue in cheek, especially as like the you know the 90s on properties have gone. They're always very much breaking the fourth wall in terms of. Like, so the original Space Jam, like, the funniest stuff was, like, the Hollywood inside jokes where you freaking Bill Murray shows up because he knew a guy
that was
a producer.
Yeah, that's so far. I love this trailer, but Bill Murray's so funny in that. I just rewatched the first Space Jam after the trailer came out because, of course, HBO Max threw it up that day.
Yeah, it's a newly added film. I love that.
That fourth wall breaking stuff is, like, it's a part of the brand of Space Jam, so that's why I'm more accepting of it.
I thought it was cool at first when I read the essay. I'm like, at what point does it just become
a
machine where you're feeding? Like, especially like, hey, it's King Kong. Don't forget to go home
don't
after this movie and watch Godzilla versus Kong.
Don't let these overthinking keyboard jockeys
liberal
keep
Hollywood
you from enjoying
types,
something. Yeah.
This is a keyboard junkie when it's like from an actual publication.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's a junkie,
junkie. They got to sell content too. Who cares? Yeah.
I mean, I like the trailer. Things. I think it'll be fun, but.
Yes. I also like the fact that they did LeBron James as a cartoon. So I think that's one of the elements that they were missing. So I told my friend Michael, I was like, hey, do I lose my Chicago card if I like this better than the one? He's like, yes, absolutely. So,
is his name Michael Jordan? Because if so, yes, he does lose it.
So Michael Jordan is from Brooklyn, born in Brooklyn. This Michael is from Chicago, born and raised.
Born and raised.
Michael.
A little different.
So, a little different, but I'm in danger of losing my Chicago card because this does look. Any other thoughts on Space Jam, Danny?
It's trailer trash for Danny.
As we beat your opinion to a pulp.
Don't worry, we'll cover it on an episode that Danny has to be on. Warner Brothers movie.
I appreciate I'm sitting there listening to you guys as always. I love your perspectives on this and stuff. I think it's the basketball for me as an English guy. I've got no reference to basketball, got no enjoyment of the game other than its athleticism and its sporting prowess.
But don't worry about
the game bores me.
See, here's what's not fair.
All sports bore me, and I still like Space Jam.
All of us sat here and watched Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
This is so great. That was
because it's a proper fucking sport. That's why.
BS sport, and you're just like, basketball, I can't do it. You know what? You gotta give a little. You gotta sacrifice. You gotta do
soccer. Soccer irrationally pisses me off. I'm like, why don't they just stop the clock instead of adding a freaking nebulous amount of time at the end?
All I know is that all these shows are built on the characters, not the sport, including Space Jam. So like me, who has no interest in any sport, can watch shows like The League or Space Jam or Ted Lasso and enjoy it.
I don't think Space Jam. I don't think that's quite fair. The reason why I don't think so, as an American, as three of us being Americans growing up in the 90s, even if you weren't a fan of basketball, you could not escape the basketball pop culture zeitgeist because that was huge back then.
You still can't now, kind of.
Yeah, you can Nike, more.
The shoes and
yeah. Compared to now, like then was just like that was fucking Avengers Age of Ultron, Avengers Endgame level of freaking hugeness.
Now it's more like, you know? I told you this. It's a more like Justice League because you got Batman, Superman, and Rodman. We've had this discussion.
Okay.
You need to keep these things.
Okay. Would you like me to say? I'm talking about the pulp cult, the pop culture.
Whatever.
Proud, no. The bigness of
nope.
It.
Nope.
All right.
Not gonna let it go. Lego. Legos. Not
gonna don't go Lego. There. Don't you do it. I'll get my sister on you, Jonesy.
Okay. Interesting.
Moving on.
You don't want to go there, Jam.
All right, I'm just watching the trailer.
We'll take that one offline. Hold on, before we transition from this, I love that Jammer, you mentioned that an inordinate amount of time added to our game that is 90 minutes long from the people that have sports games that last 8-9 hours. I mean, how long is a fucking basketball game? The Super Bowl is 6 hours long.
What he's saying is the time that you get for penalties seems arbitrary versus with basketball. You're like, I know that. This clock, like once this clock ends, it will stop. But it seems like as you watch soccer, you have no idea when that is in. Like, we don't know.
There's
that's
no like
nervous. Why don't they just stop the patient of when they, will they it should end?
Just at least they just have rules like we stop the clock when this happens, and that way when the clock reaches zero, the game's over. Instead of like we're gonna add 15 minutes to it.
Yeah.
It's we'll call it the English sport cut. So you never quite know how long it's going to be. No, you're right. And in fairness, Gemma, it is frustrating for us too, especially when you're on the winning team and this, like you're winning the game and they keep adding this time and you're like, fuck, no, just stop it now because we're winning. Don't give them time to catch up.
Yeah. Stop counting the votes. Stop counting them.
Yes, we won already. You've ended.
Only legal goals count. We were also blessed in this last week with not one, but two Marvel trailers. We got one for the upcoming Loki series, and we also got one for the upcoming Black Widow, which will be released simultaneously on Disney Plus for a premium fee as well as theaters. Of these two trailers, what did you guys think? Is one more exciting?
I actually think Loki is more exciting. Loki somehow looks 100% unique. Even this late in Marvel, where it's kind of WandaVision and it's kind of Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's also a whole new kind of weird. Like especially in this trailer, it's no like him and Owen Wilson together are already magic. Where he's like, that makes you. I mean, that you sound really smart. And he's like, I am smart. And he's like, I know. It's just like this casual because
like, okay.
When he has or when
it
he
just
has
throws him this, off. Yeah. It's so funny.
But he's agreeing with him. He's just like, okay. But then the where he has to sign for everything he said in his life, and he like adds one more word, and it's just the aesthetics are so nice. Where it's an old school style printer with the parts on the side. I don't know.
It feels kind of British, the humor.
Yeah, I could see.
Which
that.
Is not. It's a good thing. It's kind of cool. Yeah, I think it's great.
Which means
you
won't know when it ends.
But I feel like this show is going to make me cry. I could feel it because Owen Wilson is giving me some Mad Coulson vibes. I feel like he's like this sort of fanboy who's been watching Loki for his life, doesn't trust him, but wants to believe in him. And something's going to happen. He's going to be the catalyst for Loki to go through an emotional arc. I think Owen Wilson is toast. I think he's dead. But I think I'm going to love his character.
You know what's really interesting about his line, where it's like, I've been studying you my entire life. I remember, I think I wrote this article that like, Tom Hiddleston would spend all of his time on set explaining why Loki did everything in each movie, because obviously, like most actors who work in Marvel of like his caliber, he's never seen a Marvel movie in his life. Like, there's no way Christian Bale's coming into Thor 4 being like, I'm a fan of the franchise. It's a job. So like, he had Tom Hiddleston and him would sit on set between shots, and he'd be like, Tom Hiddleston be explaining everything about Loki so that his character couldn't. I don't know. It's all in the script too.
Explaining Loki.
What?
I said he's God-splaining. God-splaining Loki.
Yeah. Yes.
I just love, like, it's just a job. They wouldn't actually do their jobs. They wouldn't actually do the research to actually do well at their jobs.
That's true about most. Almost said in the interview, he's never read a Marvel comic or seen a movie in his life, which is why he was cool that he got talked to Loki himself.
One of the things I will say about these two trailers, what's funny to me is this is the first trailer that made me actually want to see Black Widow, but I can't tell how much of that is because they recycled a bunch of stuff from the Avengers movies. So I was like, ooh, I have feelings now. It's like, wait a minute, you cheated. You cheated to make me feel that way.
That's just the Voromir shots, the second to last shot of the classic footage. And you're like,
yeah. I will say this. Here's the thing. I heard, where the fuck did I hear this? I don't know where I heard this. This isn't a rumor or anything. This is just speculation that someone says they hope that Black Widow takes place in an alternate universe where she doesn't die. And basically somehow it's going to play into Loki in some way, and she's going to come back in that way.
I think that'd be interesting.
That could explain why they didn't move the date, and they were quite happy to dump it where it is because it's got to tie into the Loki show and the other shows that are coming on, possibly. I mean, just to tie that thread together, even though it's not real.
No, June. But Loki originally wasn't supposed to come out till this spring either, and Black Widow's supposed to come out last May. Like, Loki was never planned anywhere close to Black Widow originally.
You know, what they could do is they could time it so that, like, the last episode where she comes into play airs the weekend after Loki or Black Widow comes out in theaters.
It is plopped in the middle of Loki, which is interesting for release dates. But
yeah, it's plopped in the middle of its run.
So I agree with Nick that if that does happen, that it cheapens. So I was not a fan of her sacrifice to be that was stupid.
I agree, which is why I'm like, I want her to be alive. So I'm like,
that. But the problem is it's done, right? And so I feel like if you go back and reverse it, then it's like nothing matters.
Yeah,
I mean, they did that with Loki too. This is a prequel, obviously. It's multiverse. It's like, it's multiverse shit. It works. Like, different Gamora. Yeah, but Loki's
been escaped death like 3 or 4 times already.
He didn't escape death. He didn't just, he did in the different
ones. Here is a non-Marvel related pitch to why it's okay for Loki. I think it's okay for Loki because the god Loki and Ragnarok and Thor and all of these characters, it's all cyclical, right? It happens again and again and again. So from a lore mythology perspective, it's okay to bring them. That's what happens to these people in and outside the MCU. So if you just read Norse mythology, that's what happens at Ragnarok. It just starts all over again. So that's why I feel like thematically it's differently and why it would be okay versus like, yeah, we're just going to undo this death that saved everyone. It feels cheaper.
Jammer Jonesy, I don't think I've heard you guys say about you didn't like Black Widow's sacrifice in that film. I'm really, I don't know, you may have rehashed this before, but I'd be really interested to know why you both didn't like that. And if you didn't, the reasons for why you didn't, but what would you have done instead? Because the sacrifice had to be made. So who would you have sent over? I'm interested to know what you both thought about that.
Yeah, of the two of them, I think it should have been Hawkeye. I think that he had done the most and that his death would have, he had done the most quote unquote wrong that we had seen, right?
Yeah, like we've seen
spree that we saw in Endgame. Yeah, and I think that that's the problem, Nick. So they haven't done a good job of justifying why we should understand why it's okay for her to kill herself. All we've ever gotten is I've got red in my ledger. That's just a sentence. We literally watched Hawkeye walk through a room of people and just murder a bunch of guys because we never really saw what they did either. All we have is his word, like, yeah, these are bad Yakuza dudes.
They were Yakuza, weren't they?
We take his word for it. Like, and that's my problem. Like, we never saw them do anything bad. We just saw him go and murder these guys. And so for me, just seeing what he's the one that should sacrifice himself. And the other part of it is from a story point of view, he clearly appeared to be broken from having gone around the world murdering people, killing people. And I feel like that should take away from his ability to be a husband and raise a family and all of those other things. So from a
story perspective. Probably going to get tackled in Hawkeye the Show.
Hmm?
They're probably going to tackle that in the Hawkeye show.
They might. They might.
I think that's why he's out and about again. It's almost like, but then is it that much different than like, I know this is another, it's a parallel that we've seen in Falcon and the Winter Soldier returning from war.
So hold on, let me answer that. So the problem is, we didn't know that this show was coming when that happened. So my problem was, at the time, in Endgame, I didn't like it. Or Infinity, which one was it? I can't even think now. Infinity.
Endgame.
I didn't like it. So they might fix it at this point. But that's kind of the reason why I didn't really. Also, the way that it happened was kind of stupid. For a thing to be as serious as it was, like it was played for laughs and jokey, like they're fighting each other to see who's going to be the person to sacrifice. Like, I didn't like the way.
I didn't think it was.
I didn't laugh once. I thought it was sad. Yeah, I didn't think it was played, just showing their relationship.
I didn't.
To be fair, I don't feel the same way as Jonesy.
Not about any of what Jonesy said about the actual sacrifice and who
No, I don't mind the who. I just ultimately I felt like I wanted a more cathartic end for her. And I felt like that one just kind of got lost in the midst of all of the other things. And it was sort of the least referenced death at the very end. It didn't feel like we got a proper send-off. We felt like we had a send-off for Tony Stark. I felt like we got a send-off for Captain America. For her, she just kind of died and then was forgotten.
What if
and
as like...
someone who's like ended up being one of the most interesting characters to me in the MCU, like I was disappointed in that.
That's and why the other I think thing it's I'll a say smart... is... Oh, go ahead.
I felt like she was finally coming into her own, and we were understanding like what this family meant to her.
Yeah.
And it was like right as we understand it, and I get how sometimes that works, right? Like right as you start to see someone develop into someone, then you lose them. This didn't work for me if that's what they were going for, because we were just starting to understand like what the Avengers meant to her as a family.
Well, I would argue that she's had so much more screen time than Hawkeye in the movies, like so much more. I mean, you look at Civil War. He's in it, but she's like in it most of the movie. Winter Soldier, she's like the second lead. Screen time in the first Avengers. Hawkeye isn't even in Infinity War. I think it's less of an impact on the audience if Hawkeye dies, honestly. We care so much less about him than Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, because we've seen her go through different struggles and learn how to not be terrible. So we haven't really seen that, but we learned about that. She's working harder than Steve to get shit back together.
Time to me does not equate to impact.
As
we get to talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier, I think when you see Daniel Brühl, I think that is a perfect example of we've seen this guy for a couple more minutes and we're like, this is a completely different person.
But so you would feel just as sad if Hawkeye died in that scene?
I don't really give a fuck about either of them, really.
About Hawkeye or Black Widow?
Yeah, neither of them in terms of like character, like, oh man.
Oh, I disagree. I freaking love Black Widow, which is like if Hawkeye died, that would suck, but like I feel like that wouldn't have been as impactful.
I don't like what they it's not her. I don't like what they did with her character. So like in Avengers Age of Ultron, I didn't like the whole thing with the whole
That was garbage.
That was weird.
And so like that plays into my feelings about all that stuff.
That's not canon in my head. that's not canon in my head.
That's not Scarlett Johansson's fault, right? That's Joss Whedon's fault. Who I don't know if you guys saw some additional news that came out this week. Apparently, he allegedly threatened Gal Gadot's career.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I read that whole expose from THR.
Jesus Christ. I don't Christ. Care.
I already Jesus dislike him. Christ. I don't need to read about the other stuff you did. He's already on my shit list.
I think it matters only because it goes to like
It connects to other people who you should also hate. You should keep adding to the list, Nick.
Okay, if that's it, I'll read it.
Just because it connects, like part of it was, Nick, your argument for disbelieving in the beginning was like, well, I want to know, like, if this is happening supposedly now, I want to know when it happened in the past. Like, this is something that just happened. And I think it goes to the depths of his ass shittery.
And it made me respect John Berg a little bit more because he actually acknowledged I fucked up and actually called Ray Fisher. And also made me respect Ray Fisher more because Ray Fisher was like, hey, I appreciate that. I'm not going to say like I don't forgive anybody. I want change more than anything rather than just to pin somebody up on a wall and shame them. And so I'm like, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, which is great because I think part of my interest in the saga has been like, what do you want? And I know he signs everything like accountability over entertainment, but you know, one of the things you talk about when it comes to protests is you have to get from protest to policy. So what is the thing that you're interested in? And seeing that, at least for him, having some of these executives reach out to him matters. Not a news story, but I just thought that was interesting.
No, thanks. Thanks, Jam and Jonesy. I appreciate your perspective on that. I'm not sure. I still think losing her had a bigger impact, would have had a bigger impact. But when I watch Endgame again, and let's face it, I will be watching Endgame again, I will be looking at it through a slightly different, from a slightly different perspective from you guys. So that was kind of cool. But to me, it was a big impact when she died. So I think that had the effect on me, even obviously with you, Jones, it didn't quite have the same effect on me.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just form, right? Like maybe if it had been done a different way, I would have felt different, but that's part of my analysis.
Well, both those shows are in my preview party, but the Black Widow one is in a private preview party.
Premium. Beep, beep, beep.
That's the champagne room. Champagne room. Yeah. No sex in the champagne room.
Yeah. If your name's not down, you're not coming in.
Coming at all. Oh, we did it!
Oh, I was so close. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm still going to try and move off it. Our last news story of the show.
Hey.
We've got the fact that Warner Brothers has done interesting. They've canceled two of their upcoming. For the last few years, we knew, supposedly, that The Trench was kind of director James Wan, who also directed Aquaman, and we later learned that Ava DuVernay was going to be directing the New Gods film. So you were going to get to see folks from New Genesis, High Father, Proto Darkseid, and all of these people. Warner Brothers has just said that they are canceling these films. They won't be making them. So it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big impact. At least one of the rationale that the Hollywood Reporter laid out was that New Gods, which would have been a sprawling tale, was complicated by the fact that its villain Darkseid just appeared as a major foil in Zack Snyder's Justice, and there was a desire to have space between the latter and any new appearing. Ava DuVernay had this to say on Twitter. She said, "Tom, I love writing New Gods with you. I'm upset that the saga of Barda, Scott, Granny, Highfather, the Furies ends this way. Diving into Kirby's fourth world was the adventure of a lifetime that can't be taken away. Thank you for your friendship. And remember, Darkseid is." Nick, you are our resident comic guy. Given the fact that we have three Batmen that at some point will potentially be on screen at the same time or near to each other, we've just learned that Robert Pattinson's Batman will take place on Earth 2. What do you think about all this?
Jammer's on this screen completely. This is directly a result of Zack Snyder's Justice League. Like they said, Darkseid is not a popular enough character there would be more than one version of, and he would be written and stylized very differently in a Tom King book. Because Eisner winning, what's it called, Mr. Miracle, is a very comedic take on the New Gods. Mr. Miracle is the son of the High Father who's raised by Granny Goodness on Darkseid's planet. And then Darkseid sends his son, I think, over to be raised by the High Father. That's kind of a trade to kind of keep peace between them. So like...
Back, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because, and then it becomes like... I mean, this is Tom's King version, so I expect to get some of this in the movie. One of my favorite scenes in the entire book is they're having a dinner party to negotiate peace between the two, and Darkseid double dips, and that's just a joke within it. It's like someone yells at him, and he's like, and he's like double dipping on a like a vegetable platter or something. And I don't think you can have those exist. Audiences, I don't know. I don't think audiences are smart enough. Like I brought this up earlier, like general audiences. I was talking to my sister on the phone every week. So last Thursday we were talking. And I was like, oh, you should check out the new Suicide Squad trailer. And she's like, Suicide Squad? Why the hell do I want to be involved with that? And I was like, oh, this one's from James Gunn, and it's got, like, wacky characters, and they're going to die and stuff. And she's like, I'm not watching another trailer for another Suicide Squad movie. Like, you're out of your fucking mind. And I think Darkseid, I don't know, I think it splits the fandom farther.
Interesting.
One of the main things. Like, because Darkseid people are like, Snyder Cut people are like, well, I'm not going to see a different version of Darkseid from a different director, because it's Zack Snyder all the way or nothing.
So what's funny about what you're saying is I got the impression from her statement that Darkseid would be as to this as Thanos is to the Eternals, like maybe not necessarily the focal point. Because if you listen to or if you read the characters that she read, she said Barda, Scott, Granny, Highfather, the Fury. So like he would have been in it, But I do not have Dark Side.
No. He'd be like, it's like she described all the main characters from the Tom King comic. Like, sure. Dark Side's not the major part, but that's also straight from the comic, is every few pages. Okay, so if you know, Michi does it with Mitch Gerardis. They also did, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, I'm Nick. They also did Vision together. Every page is 9 panels. The rule's never broken. Every page is 9 panels. Sometimes something falling through the air will take a full 9 panels to show. But okay. Every, like, third page, there's a black panel that says Dark Side is for the entire franchise.
It's racist. I mean, Joseph Jammer Medina, you have 90 seconds to respond.
It's weird that they're blaming a movie that just hit a streaming service for anything like this. To me, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, did your sister even watch Justice League, the new one?
Fuck no. She was the same reaction to that. She's like, why would I watch Justice League again?
Exactly. So what does it matter? The same people that are going to be confused by this. Hold on. The same people who are going to be confused by this are the same people who aren't watching Justice League. So what does it matter?
And never saw Darkseid in theatrical.
And never saw Darkseid. And also, like, it's just like, he's not even like a huge part of it. He's there for like 5 minutes of the movie. And this movie wouldn't even come out for another 2 to 3 years. Will be so different that no one's going to make the connection. That general audience is not going to be confused because they're not going to be able to connect those two characters.
And most of them didn't see it.
I think this is the studio being fucking stupid and wanting to find a scapegoat. And there it is. That's the scapegoat. Wow. It just makes no sense. Like, at the end of the day, like, you could, I will say this. You could be right and say, yes, the studio is saying we're not going to do this because of Zack Snyder. But I think that is a bullshit and stupid reason. And that's just the them reason. That's just an excuse. It's not an actual real good reason.
I mean, I thought it would be that months ago when I made the comment when the first Justice League trailer came out with Darkseid on it. And then Granny Goodness was there and fans were like, oh my God, we're getting Granny Goodness. I tweeted like, I can't believe Zack Snyder's wasting all these characters when two people have been working on a script for 3 years. And then that was when she started following me, the director of the film. Insulting a fellow DC director.
That's stupid. He made this movie 3 years ago. They were in there in the original script. Like,
I mean,
it's comic books. It doesn't fucking matter. It's all a multiverse. This is something
those people's
that they
jobs
have.
That are now gone Jammer, because Jammer, now Zack Snyder can have 5 minutes.
No. It's not Zack Snyder. It is Warner Brothers.
You're right. They shouldn't have
trigger.
Released the Snyder cut that way. There wouldn't be a confusion.
They shouldn't have canceled this movie. There's no good fucking reason for this. Don't put that on Zack Snyder. Don't say, oh, it's Zack Snyder's fault that the Warner Brothers decided to do this. No, it's not. He just made a fucking movie.
Danny K. Barlow, thoughts?
Thoughts. I'm going to throw this out there. Do you think, Jammer and Nick, that maybe the Warner Brothers have looked at possibly the, not necessarily the success of the recent Justice League film, but the possible spin-offs, including Deathstroke, et cetera, and they're looking at this now, not rightly or wrongly, I don't think it's the right thing to do, but do you think they're looking at this thinking, we can make some money off of something that more people are now aware of and clearly lots of people like? I personally don't think that's very smart, but do you think maybe that's what they've done? They're thinking that they're going to ride this cash cow a little bit longer before they introduce
the Snyderverse?
In the Snyderverse. Again, I don't think it's a smart move, but do you think that might have something to play?
That's what I hoped, but there was a new chart that was recently released. I forget where it was from, but it kind of showed the subscribers.
The spikes on HBO Max.
The spikes on HBO Max, and the one.
There
Godzilla
wasn't really
Kong,
one.
There wasn't really much for Justice League.
The biggest one was Warner Brothers, and then Godzilla vs. Kong was like another spike. And there was
the biggest
no
one was Warner Brothers? What does that mean?
No, I said that. Wonder Woman. Biggest spike was Wonder Woman, and then Godzilla vs. Kong, and there's like a minor spike when and the viewer numbers were wrong, they even admitted, because they were counting everyone and people who watched it for 4 seconds.
Yeah, just turn to watch the credits and then go, oh no, I've seen this. But Wonder Woman is in the Snyderverse, and then there's a lot of love for Henry Cavill as Superman, so maybe we would get a Man of Steel 2, etc. So
I don't think we'll get that. I just think, just like we've seen with the Aquaman movie and the Wonder Woman movies, they can stand alone. You don't have to refer back, like they're trying not to refer back to the Justice League or even Batman v Superman. And people are complaining that like, oh, we still want to see the Batman, like do the Batman. And it's like, that movie only fell apart because Ben Affleck decided to leave. They were going to make that movie. It was the actor, director, writer's decision to step down. People were like, you screwed us by not giving us that Batman movie with Deathstroke. And it's like, that was Ben Affleck's choice, not a studio move. Yeah. He wasn't fired. He quit. So I don't know. I think No, I don't think they'll continue the universe, but they'll keep the actors wherever they can. We're seeing that with Flash, as long as they let. I think it sounds more and more like Ray Fisher will come back as long as he's not working for certain people. Maybe he'll get a Cyborg movie. Maybe they'll write him back into the Flash. I think they're keeping the actors wherever possible. It's just it's worlds of DC now or whatever.
But you can't possibly have Darkseid in his own movie then, because that would just confuse his audiences, right?
Zack Snyder, fuck him. I think every decision they've made is confusing as fuck. Yeah. Like, I'd love list of continuity, even if it's bullshit.
I agree.
Like, Zelda
that would be good, but the fact is they're already doing that thing that you're saying that they canceled Zack Snyder they're canceled New Gods for. So it's like, it makes no sense. There's no logic there.
Well,
excuse,
I don't think her pre-production design of Darkseid would look anything like the version we got. I think it'd be very Kirby-esque. Or Lord of the Rings.
Doesn't have to. Who cares?
I don't know.
Thanos doesn't even look the same as he did in the original Avengers movie.
No, he doesn't at all.
Looked at the end. So, like, those minor, like, I don't think that would have. And I'll say this for me. I think the most disappointing thing about it is, and I hate to keep drawing these parallels to Marvel, this was DC's opportunity to do something Guardians-like now.
Yeah.
And I know that they probably have Green Lantern coming out, so that might be in that same vein of, like, space. But that's still humans, right? Some humans leading the charge. This would have been more interesting to me, just because you get to see a completely different society. It doesn't revolve around Earth. You get to just see a completely different aspect of the DC universe, and I was really looking forward to that.
Yeah, what's the project?
I would love to see
besides Batman,
King and DuVernay cooked up in Kirby's world. I think that would have been amazing. I think that DC really fucked up.
I think there's also a difference. They would have had an image, which I mean, Jordan can use this. Chandler can use this in his argument. But like Steppen Wolf, for example, like in the comics, he looks like a human being with a beard and that Loki-esque thing. Like, I think she could have done her own style completely. Where, like, Darkseid's one of the only weird looking motherfuckers. And he'd look less like not a cave troll. That's what Doomsday looked like. He'd look less like a Uruk-hai than Snyder's designs of him and whoever his assistant dude is, and his name basically Darkseid also.
Desaad.
Desaad. Yeah.
So yeah. Who knows? Any other
the trench? I don't give a shit about.
I'm
like, no, why'd they even announce that?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's like, you know what?
We need a spinoff before even Aquaman 2.
Yeah.
You know that dark place they went to? Let's go there for
a full
movie.
That'd work better as an HBO Max show, like Peacemaker. People are asking for Deathstroke in that form. I'm like, that would work better as an HBO Max show. I'd watch Deathstroke played by What's-His-Face for 8 episodes or something.
For me, I'm just always going there going like, give me the Deathstroke. Give me freaking Batman with Ben Affleck. Give me Zack Snyder's Justice League. Give me the Batman with Robert Pattinson. Give me these other things. Give me all these interpretations.
Make all
because
the
they
things.
Don't give a fuck. Make all the things. If they're profitable, if they work, great. Don't use a stupid excuse like continuity.
And I think that's the crazy thing, right? So I think, Danny, to your question, it sounds like by their calculus, this wouldn't be profitable. That is, at the end of the day, their calculus is money. It's not content.
Then just say that. Just say that.
Yeah.
Because I would respect that if they just said, it's not going to be profitable. We don't think it'll be profitable.
I'm
like,
it probably isn't.
Okay. I don't like it, but I understand. I get it.
Especially at the moment, their coffers, their bank balance is probably not as high as it could have been if we weren't living in the current situation. So they probably are counting the pennies a little bit more, counting the dimes and the cents, and now really are just they're gambling less and investing in things that are more likely to be profitable than something.
Which is probably smart for Warner Brothers. Right now,
but I agree.
I don't think guys would make enough money. Or I wouldn't bet.
I agree with
Jammer.
They'd just be honest about it. So it's a business decision. We just don't think it'd be profitable at this time, but we hope to release in the future. They can always.
I feel like Trench would be the more dangerous one.
Yeah.
Dangerous one.
I have no interest in that. I don't think anybody.
No one does.
No.
But anyway.
Isn't that just where lots of those black angry sea living monsters lived? That's all I got out of that.
Racist. That was racist. I called a comic panel black, and I was called racist.
You also said fuck the Mexicans. That's remember that.
It's evolved every time. Something worse.
I'll see if that's we're going
to say. Did it evolve into I just hate people who don't have the same skin color as me? It turned into that eventually. That's basically what it turns into.
When really it was,
I'm going to help you guys.
Hispanic actors are never to be trusted because they release.
I'm
going to
help you out here. Bird watching. Snowbird watching.
Hey!
Snowbird watching!
Hey! So here we are at the midpoint of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I guess the question I have for you guys is, one, what do you guys think of the show? And then two, do you think that Marvel will be able to help my fear? Because my fear is, having seen the third episode of this show, Sam seems more like a sidekick than someone who can step into Steve's boots as Captain America. I don't expect him to be Steve's Captain America. I would expect him to be some version of his own Captain America. But right now, I don't. And so I'm curious what you guys think about where we are in the show right now.
I'm loving the show. Question. I really do enjoy this show. However, it's interesting you say I had exactly the same thought, particularly about episode three, though. I didn't have the same thought in the first two episodes, but particularly episode three, I did feel that Sam was a bit part, was the second, not close to not even being the lead at all.
I'd say third.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm a little bit concerned, but I'm hoping, which is not a course of action, Commander, but I'm hoping that that was just on this episode and his time will come. And that might be in the last two episodes. There's only six, right? So yeah, so five and six. Yeah. I'm loving the show. I particularly enjoyed this episode, but I do have that same fear that Sam, how are they going to make Sam, you know, Captain Sam at this point, when at the moment he seems to still be struggling with that opportunity. So yeah, loving the show, but I have that same fear at the moment, Jonesy.
Okay. Jammer or Nick?
I'll go, I guess. I don't want to talk about the show. I think each episode is honestly even better than the last. I think this episode was very intentionally not about Sam, because this was the Zemo Bucky episode and it's all about their history, because Sam has no history with Zemo.
I will say, yeah, really quick, because jumping off of that, that's a good point. And I think that's the strength of having a TV show format over a movie. It doesn't need to be fully centric around a single character. So that's a good point.
Because Sam has felt like the more Captain America character out of the two for the first two episodes, even before they met, and then once they met up. Like, he's the one who's, like, doing the jumping out of the plane and knowing his shit, and then Bucky's just falling. And he has this – Bucky's, like, out immediately when they have that conversation about Battlestar, but Sam's willing to give him more of a chance because he's – I don't know. He's more Captain America-y. And then at a certain point, he's like, well, I'm out too, after the microaggression. But
I don't get the feeling that Bucky wants to be Captain America. I just think he's very fucking picky about who becomes Captain America.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do get that impression that it's not competition for between those two who gets the shield. But that's a great point about that being more about Bucky and Zemo, that episode. And Sam was intentionally written to have a little bit of a smaller part there and look from the sidelines a little bit.
I don't think it's the smaller part thing that bothers me about it. It's just the kind of leading by the nose, right? Like, the following nature of what he did. So it's one thing center fall back, but
he's a passive lead.
Super passive. And there were some weird things that happened in this episode, like the phone call that he got from his sister. Like, I was expecting, like, you're going to be able to handle this, right? Like, how can you handle Zemo or Bucky or any other Captain America fucking villain? You can't deal with your sister right now on the phone? Like, you're about to get shot in the face. You're about to get your shit friend shot in the face.
I don't know. How would you handle that situation?
Well, he has
two things against him.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't know what she was going to say. And B, he had no idea how this guy was supposed to talk. So he was trying to find a way to talk in a way that was, like, neutral. It's funny. I got that visual of freaking Channing Tatum. My name's Jeff. Like, that sort of thing. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to talk. Like, does he have an accent? Does he speak a certain way? I don't know.
I don't know how I would have handled it, and I guess it's the way that the writers wrote him into that corner, and it just seems like he couldn't do it. And my expectation is that you at least have some idea how to get yourself out of this situation. I don't know.
I know how they're leading, obviously, towards him hopefully being in charge by the end, but still, the show is called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I feel like we've gotten a lot more Falcon in the first two episodes, so this almost makes it more of a balance.
But again,
I think they were leading because he's the only one who doesn't fit into that world without taking on another identity and they go in there.
That's not the thing that bothers me about it. It's again, it's what Jammer said. It's the passive nature of who he was. And some of it was just not
bordered on incompetence.
He did not come off like a leader at all. So here's the example. Here's an example. I would compare this to Captain America, Winter Soldier, where Black Widow is kind of leading Steve around when they're trying to do the espionage stuff. he never lost like his Captain America-ness, even though he was still uncomfortable with some of the clandestine stuff that they, so they were able to balance those two things, and it seemed like they lost that balance here for Sam to be that person. And part of it was we haven't seen Sam at least be up to the same level as Steve. So even in a moment where in Winter Soldier you might feel that way, I don't think that we've gotten that level of competence from Sam yet. So
that's fair. That's Jammer. A concern. I think episode 3 was kind of a mess. It felt very thin, really plot heavy. I had no idea why anything was happening. I was like, why are they going here? I don't understand what the connection is between what they're trying to do and what Mutants, where they ended up going. And they got cozy. They got cozy with Zemo real quick. And I'm like, they gave him a pretty long leash. And I kind of like what they did with Zemo. I kind of like what his character did, where he's kind of just weird, badass. But at the same time, I'm like, he was felt very much like a solo player in Civil War. But all of a sudden now he's just like buddy buddy with this huge network of underground people. And where did he get this charisma from? Like it came. He was very cold in the original, in the movie. And in this one, he's just like cozying up, you know, being super friendly, being kind of likable. And I'm just like, it rang false to me.
Question. Sorry, what's up? Before you finish, do you know, or does anybody know whether or not he got blipped? I would assume not, because
same like not. Prison.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I have no idea. I don't think
he still would spend 2 years in prison even if he wasn't blipped. I mean, if he was blipped, but right. I think it felt like he wasn't blipped, which is why he was like, oh, being in prison sucks. I don't know if
this factors into any of your thought process, Jammer, but it sounds like he's had 5+ years to marinate. And so I think if he's in a prison cell, that might change.
Plus he won. He still won. The Avengers came back. They defeated Thanos. And now there's no Avengers again.
So when you met him in Civil War, he was grieving. He was revenge focused. And he was
a man with a plan, I would say, is the main difference in that movie.
Which would account for his coldness. I don't know if that factors in your thought process.
But that's a good that is a good point. And also like, but I did also like that scene. I'm torn on this scene where it's like he put on the mask for 5 seconds, did some shit, and then came back to them. I thought that was kind of cool. And also, I kind of don't like it.
Back? Yeah.
Well, no, I get why he came back, because
They
still have the same goal at the moment. So he's going to be with them as long as they have the same goal. But I just like the fact that it was almost like he slipped into like a different personality, like a badass personality, and then kind of came back as, okay, I'm my goofy self again. Here's a car.
I just like that I love the idea that he's like rich. Like someone like made a meme online where it's like when you're watching the wrong subtitles and it's like it's the three of them walking and they're like, what's your superpower? And Zemo's like, I'm rich. Because he's like a Eastern European Bruce Wayne. He's like got the butler and like the airplane and like the fancy cars and the jacket. And he's like sipping like on champagne and stuff.
He's got a cowl. You've got the cowl, baby.
And he's like an expert. I love the comparison you made. I think it was a meme you showed or just said, Jonesy, where he's talking about how he understands the song and the complexities of it. Trouble and then man. When he's dancing, he's like, can't dance at all.
love that juxtaposition.
Release the Zemo cut.
That's all me, baby. The Zemo straight cut. Off the dome.
All we want is the rest of that dance. You don't need to put it in the episode. Just give us like a book. Put it in the... the assembled thing at the end, which is the making of, just 4 minutes. That's all we want for release the Zemo cut crowd. We don't want any violence. We just want to see him dance a little bit longer.
But I just felt like the episode on the whole was just felt kind of plot heavy and thin. I think that also contributes maybe what you're talking about, Jonesy, where it's like it's because it was so much they needed to be here, then here, then here, then here. It didn't have a lot of time to really focus on the characters and their drive and all that. So I think for me that's why it just felt kind of a mess. It didn't feel like it had I think maybe that's the problem I'm having with these Marvel TV shows so far, is they feel like they're stretched thin through their plot and that they're not necessarily always taking in that opportunity to sort of dig deeper into the characters as much as they are trying to make the plot more scattered. Well, they're not trying to make it scattered, but it's coming across more scattered.
Yeah, they're stretching out a 2-hour feature into six episodes.
Yeah, and they're not filling it with things.
Right. So to your point about it being significantly action heavy, this episode was directed by Chad Stahelski of John Wick fame. So if some of these things look familiar, like knives being thrown around or some of these bullets and all the shit flying around look familiar, that would be why. A lot of that was done by Sharon Carter, who's returning to this series. And I was curious, what, if anything, did you guys about her characterization here versus in any other time we've seen her? Danny, I'll start with you.
I put this down in my headcanon. I put this down the same as with Zemo a little bit. I think that they weren't blipped and they used this time to escape, embed themselves, learn new trades, try to Zemo particularly tried to make himself a new, you know, a new bad guy in a sense, and make the most of what he felt would have been a success, a win, like you guys were just discussing. I love the new character that she's portraying now, or the new version of herself that she's portraying now. I think it's a nice progression for her. She's got a lot of confidence back now, or has confidence now that she may wasn't sure about before, because she was working for someone. But as the end of this episode shows, it looks like she is more, or there is more to her than meets the eye as to what her motivations are, Sisto, and who she may be working for. Don't you dare. and so I actually really enjoyed it. But what I enjoyed most at the in this episode at the moment, though, was just that actual action stuff. And so just to touch on that point a little bit, Jonesy, which is where you weren't necessarily asking, but I thought the action set pieces in this episode were much better than number one. That's one criticism I had of episode number one, was the fight sequences were a bit choppy and the editing was a little bit rough, especially on the plane before they went airborne, when Sam went airborne. And then this one, it was a lot more clear. The choreography was a bit better. And the, what's the word I'm looking for, guys? The situational, the understanding of time and space where the fight was happening. And this one felt a little bit more controlled, and so it does make no surprise to me at all that it was the guys from John Wick, because they did a good job with action. So from that sense, I enjoyed the action in this, and I enjoyed seeing her being at the helm of it. It was great. So okay. So yeah, I enjoyed that iteration of Sharon that we've got at the moment.
Okay.
Well, the action was
Nick
good.
Dahl.
Yeah, it felt refreshing, like, to see it, rather than just like dredging up. That's why I like the Zemo thing too, and I don't mind. And I disagree about development. So I think this episode was all about developing those two characters. Not like that's the entire episode, developing Sharon Carter and Zemo past where they were before.
That.
Like that's why there's not as much growth for Bucky or Sam. And they even give they give a 3-minute throwaway to John Walker to just kind of see his development of like, I'll do what it takes and I'll punch someone who spits on me. But going back to Sharon, it's fun to see a different take than you'd ever expect from her. Because just like Zemo, she's kind of had to suffer for a year. Like, she wasn't pardoned. She's had to make her way in a criminal area because she's wanted. And she even said Madripoor, whatever it's pronounced. She's like, they don't extradite. There's a line like that, which is why she's there. But I was surprised and I liked it. And she kicked a lot of ass. Though, as far as the John Wick director being involved, I think that's some of the best Winter Soldier action we've seen. To just the way that scene was shot, where he's pretending to be Winter Soldier, then later Zemo's playing with his chin and shit. But my final thing about that is my mom texted me while she was watching it. She's like, is that Captain? Who is this? Do we know her? Is this Captain Marvel? So I had to call her real quick and be like, no, she helped out Steve twice in the past. It's not Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel would have kicked everyone's ass quicker.
Yeah, quicker. I liked her in this. I thought she was, I liked the jaded side of her. I wasn't expecting it, but it makes sense. That like, oh yeah, I forgot that, you know, we were so focused on this, we didn't notice that they kind of screwed you over and you just basically have been on the run since then.
It's almost like Avengers privilege
after that.
Like, she helped the Avengers, but she wasn't set one. So like you said, overlooked.
Yeah. It's just us.
That'd be funny. She goes to Sam, check your privilege, Sam. And he's like, oh, don't even start with that.
God, that reminds me of that goddamn Avengers cartoon. You guys ever seen that? There's an Avengers cartoon where Black Widow says to Black Panther, like, he's talking about mutants like badly or something like that, and she goes, you don't know what it's like to have to hide, or like, she basically tells Black Panther to check his privilege, and I'm like, shut the fuck up. sorry, very random. I'll find that clip and I'll send it to you guys
really quick. I do want to say there was one part that made me go huh in a weird way, and that was the moment where she was talking to Sam, and she's like, don't pretend that you have the power to sort of clear my record. And then he basically says, if you help us, we'll clear your record. And she shakes his hand. I'm like, what? Did I miss something?
Well, if she's up to weird shit, maybe.
So
no,
that's my question.
Did you miss what I just said, though? Like, So wait, she knew he had no power to do that, and then she shook his hand on it.
Point, but however, what if she's the power broker and she's just like, fine, let's just get the fuck out of this room.
She's had 5 years.
Do you think that she's either A, undercover, or B, the power broker? Because that would explain like why
she's one
like,
of no, those things whatever. Based on how she exited the episode. She's probably one of those things at the very least.
Undercover is interesting. I didn't think about that. And she might just be like within his circle or her circle without actually being the power broker.
In his COVID bubble?
Yeah, it's like speculation's fun, and we do it on obviously Marvel Multiverse Mondays, but we've been very careful this season. Like, we didn't even draw that assumption. We said maybe she's
no part Mephisto of the group. Assumptions.
We never thought she was. No, we didn't even say maybe she's the power broker on ours. We saw that in other videos. We're like, we're not even gonna bring that up on our show. She could be. She could just be someone in his circle. Yeah, I mean, she lives Highland, whatever they call the one, the two halves of the city.
High side.
Yeah, high side.
High side.
High side. Downside.
We keeping you up, Joe?
No, it's like one. So no, not even close.
I've got a couple more questions for you guys, and then you guys can either continue on or shut it down because we've hit our time. We hit our time mark. And once you guys notice, I did it. We did it. We did it together.
Woo! Dun, dun, okay.
We're not done yet. Questions. We haven't hit the time mark yet. It's calm
but we
down.
Did, but now we can decide to go on or yeah, be now heroes. We can decide I think to go we should on. Go on and not be heroes.
Okay. Okay.
I did have a couple of quick questions for you guys. The first one is, do you think that we're going to see Steve in this series?
I hope not.
No?
I hope we don't. I don't know if we will. I don't think we will because I think that would take away from... I think Marvel knows this is their opportunity to really focus on these other characters and to bring in the specter of another big character is to do a disservice to those secondary characters we're now focusing on, which is why I think we didn't see Doctor Strange in WandaVision. They really wanted it to be about them.
It's COVID.
Oh, is that the reason?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Well, shit. I don't know. I don't know, man.
I think if the shield does get given to Sam... It's because
it was already given to him and he squandered it.
But now he's like, fuck this. He's even said, like, why don't we just go beat him up and take, or maybe Bucky said that, but Sam kind of agreed and was like, but we can't do that. We can't just beat him up and take his shield. I think there might be a ceremony or something. And maybe even that's why he gets the shield. Just, I guess no one knows if Steve Rogers is dead or whatever. If he shows up as an old man and is like, hey, I look like if John Walker's imploded or whatever, he's like, I know a guy. There, he's just sitting at the ceremony, like, just whatever the actual handoff happens, like, the one that works. I wouldn't be surprised if he's there and old.
I think Battlestar, John Walker, and Winter Soldier, and Sam are going to fight, and that's where they're going to take the shield back.
I still think he might just be in the audience. I don't know. I wouldn't expect him to be in it, but...
Yeah.
Maybe the shield... I agree. I think there's going to be a fight, and maybe the shield will just be on the floor, and we'll see it being lifted, but we won't see who's...
Cut to black.
Cut to black, yeah. No, cut Zemo. To color. Cut to a different Zemo. Color.
We see purple gloves.
Or a female.
He starts dancing now. With the shield.
And at the end, it's like, just like the Book of Fett or whatever, it's like, coming soon to Disney Plus, Zemo.
Zemo America.
Zemo does America.
That would just be the Thunderbolts, right?
I'm hoping we're getting there eventually anyway.
That would be great if we got there.
Not in the show, but through the show, we're getting more Thunderbolts. Yeah.
Freaking Ross goes like, wouldn't it be great if we had a league of our own? And then Zemo's there.
And John Walker. And
John Walker.
Abomination. No, John Walker's often a Thunderbolt.
No, but it's hard for me to think about him moving on beyond this series.
Oh, I think.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think he's here to stay.
I think he's a Thunderbolt for sure.
He is such a cop in this episode.
No, he's that's because he's still working for like. Well, he's working such a for cop. The world organization and he jumps out of vehicles.
The way he acts.
Yeah.
The way he acts. Do you know who I am? Blah, blah, blah. Just like.
Well,
the way
that's very much
himself,
like I'm Captain America now.
I mean, he's not really a cop because when that guy spit in his face, he would have beat the shit out of him if he was a cop.
He has punched him
no,
once.
No, but you. Oh, that's a good
those
point.
Those are just facts. Those are just facts.
He didn't kill him. He just punched him once.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Len Hoskins like, what the fuck, man? Take it back a notch.
Another question for you guys. Or actually, do you guys... So as of this record, we've only seen 3 out of the 6, right?
Yep.
That's correct.
I'm going to make my prediction. about what we're going to see at some point. I think we're going to get a flashback of Isaiah Bradley fighting Bucky.
I would love that so
much. I hope so. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think we're going to delve deep into what happened. And I think you have to, do that to kind of see what's happening. One of the things I thought was interesting was that his name just jumped. The guy playing Isaiah Bradley, whose name I almost always, for when I need to know, right? He looked pretty big, and he was in old man makeup. And those.
Oh, he was. That's not. He's not actually that old.
No, he's not.
Oh, we're definitely getting that then. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. I've been.
So I think we're gonna get that. And there's a part of me that wonders, having read the comic book that his storyline is based on. Thank you, Carl Lumbly. Whether or not Sam is going to get his new outfit from him, or like either inspiration or some variant from him. So those are my.
Dude, Carl Lumbly is 70 years old.
I was just gonna say the same thing.
But he doesn't look like the face. His face doesn't.
I guess.
I was hoping that we would see a flashback.
Maybe you're right. He doesn't look old, but he is. I mean, he is though.
He, like,
sorry, Carl, but you're old as fuck. Up. Yeah, they did.
How old did you say he was?
As 70. Fuck. Oh, 69. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 69.
A genuine age. As fuck.
Yeah.
He's as old as fuck.
He's not that old.
That's my thought. What do you guys think? Do you guys have any predictions? You guys can go. Like, we saw AO in this last episode.
So things are going to be complicated. That might
be some stuff. What if anything are you guys expecting from these last few episodes?
Definitely think. I think there's a 0% possibility that Walker and Hopkins don't get dosed. So 100% possibility they do get dosed. Don't know why I said it the weird way.
Do you think both of them are going to get it?
Yeah, in the comics they
both
are.
Do you think Falcon's going to get dosed?
Ooh. Maybe. I'd put money higher on Zemo getting dosed.
Needs to.
That's the thing, is like people are like
Zemo dosing himself to take care of the problem.
Talking to my brother-in-law, he was just all like, yo, like, I like Sam, but Sam doesn't have super soldier serum. He's like, he can't compete. And
it's
I'm
all
like,
about the tech
yeah.
with Sam. Like, even as Captain America, he wears the wings.
Still.
Yeah.
Still. He's like Stark at this point, or Rhodey.
The thing, yeah, but Stark had a full armor body that made him.
Yeah, but you
say
the way, like, it's like Doc Ock fighting Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. You're like, oh, man, like, that fall to the train would have killed him. But then it's like, no, if you watch it in slow motion, the arms take all the impact and the roll. Like, he never touches the
I get that.
Using your tech right.
Yeah, but also that only works because Spider-Man pulls his punches.
Yeah, but like Sam can block most punches with his arms. I mean, with his wings. Like, when he uses it like a shield from guns all the time. I don't know. It just, I think it goes against the comics. I mean, they go against comics all the time. I don't think he has ever been juiced
in the comics. But I don't think it works given what we've seen. Like, I think that works for the comic books. I do not think it works.
I don't know. Because he's not going to be a traditional Cap, and we have other non-juiced people on the Avengers.
Here's your argument. You've got Widow, who is traditionally juiced. Not juiced in the MCU.
Hawkeye, who's not
she used yet. Not this multiverse version.
I don't think
she's going to get it. Her and Loki are going to team up.
And so that means that you will have Sam stepping to that role of like just the straight up human dude on the team.
I don't think he'd be the leader of the team anymore. Like, Cap doesn't have to be. It's not. Steve Rogers was the leader of the team. He wasn't the leader of the team because he's called Captain America.
I don't. No idea.
I hope he grows into a leader.
No, he could. I just don't think the leader of the team would be without superpowers. But you can still, obviously, the movies have established you can have people on the team without superpowers. I mean, more than that, Iron Man, that's three Avengers from the original roster don't have superpowers.
Iron Man, but Iron Man has like an armor that basically makes him superhuman.
Yeah.
Whereas he doesn't have that. There's lots of vulnerabilities in his outfit.
And
unless
that's
they
why
give him a suit or something.
Compared more to Hawkeye and Black Widow. He's more like them than he is Tony Stark. Tony Stark literally like wears a watch that he can make into his suit. His suit is now his body, or was his body. RIP. He'd gotten to the point where the suit was him. So I think it's a little different.
Same as Ant-Man. Ant-Man's nothing without his suit.
Yeah.
And so. Stark's like, just comparing Stark to Falcon. Falcon has battle experience too. Like, he's a better fighter than Stark without the suit.
Well, yeah, but Stark has the suit.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Falcon doesn't need a suit because Falcon's well-trained military.
Yeah, okay. Well, freaking have Tony Stark go up against a guy with good combat experience. Stark is going to obliterate him.
Oh, you're saying a regular dude, because Cap beat the shit out of him because of his military experience.
Well, so I think Cap is super soldier. Looking for is Civil War.
Yeah, Cap was a super soldier, though. That's a thing.
Yeah.
And also he had help.
I hate that. So Bucky grabbed his leg. That made the big difference. It's like Cap was beating the shit out of him before Bucky grabbed Stark's leg.
He distracted him.
Yeah. It's like Stark's tech like taught him how to. Anyway, we shouldn't be talking.
I don't know what you're arguing on behalf of anymore. Yeah, I feel like we've switched sides like three times.
You don't like that the suit was able to beat up Cap.
This is like an episode of Cobra Kai. We're all changing allegiances mid argument.
Let's get off topic.
I
just think Falcon needs to be juiced. Or will get. Rather than that, I don't think he will get juiced. Because in this season, at least the juice is being associated with the bad guys.
For now.
It was made from Isaiah Bradley's blood. It was done by first the CIA and now just a random rich person. We're working on it.
Not a fan. Not a fan. Danny, do you have any thoughts about any of it?
I was just about to say I'm confused as fuck, but I'm not. I'm just now trying to think how any or all of these scenarios that you three guys have just thrown out could or might work. So I'm not confused. I'm like, wow, any of those could happen. And that kind of makes the next three episodes kind of exciting. So I'm glad that we've got all of that possibility with absolutely no clue whatsoever what they might do. And I quite enjoy that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool going into an episode and being like, I have no idea how this is going to end. Like, I don't know where it's going. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. What else you guys got to say? Anything special?
It keeps being good.
It's pretty good. It's the weakest episode so far. I didn't rewatch it. I feel like maybe I missed some of the things where I'm like, why are they there? I don't get what's the motivation here? What are they doing? Why is he dancing? Why is he doing this? What's going on?
I love the actor's quote about why he's dancing in that scene. It's like, I've been in jail for like 7 years. You don't think Zemo will get to a club and do a few moves, have a few drinks?
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm ready to do that too, and I've just been in lockdown for a year, so.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Zemo in all of us.
There's a little bit of Zemo in all of us. I love it. Post COVID.
We're all going to get out there and be like, put on our purple masks. Start like. Yeah. Whatever this
moving
is.
On, moving on.
Put on your purple on, mask. There's lots of world out there.
What in the world?
I think cabin fever's affecting Jammer. I think so.
I think it's tradition. I need to sing at least once each episode.
Sing it once each.
Okay.
True. And then at the end of the year, we can release the greatest hits.
That will be the 3-year anniversary. Will just be clips of Jammer
singing.
I love to sing about the Moona and the Juna and the Springer. I love to sing. I don't know the rest of it. That was the old cartoon about the owl who wants to sing and his family doesn't support him.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You guys don't know this? It's an animation classic.
Yeah.
No. Jonesy's almost knowing it. He said yeah.
No, I'm trying to remember the next part. I can't remember it.
Moona Jones is screaming. I love to sing. It's like a TB for you, like a T for two, maybe.
We'll find it.
I want Jonesy to pick up the guitar and start playing the riff.
It's called I Love to Singa. Okay, so that's, there you go. A 1936 cartoon.
Is it that old? Wow.
Oh yeah, it's old as ball sex. So old.
1939.
We did it! Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, 1936. Do it.
Cut the check. We should ask Carl Lumley if he remembers it, because he's just that old, isn't he? Didn't we just have
him? Yeah, he is old.
He's old as balls.
Old
as fuck.
Old as fuck. Of the as fuck persuasion.
Yeah. What's funny is, I'm glad we didn't do it. So we were going to do a review. Concrete Cowboy. I objected to Black coming out.
No, I thought we shut that down last week immediately because I never watched it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm glad we didn't do it. That's the reason why. But anyway, that said. Gents, you ready to close up shop?
Yes, sir.
Check.
I don't remember how to close up shop. Jammer, didn't you do it last time? Or did I do it? Who did it?
I don't remember, dude. Probably you. But thank you so much, dear listeners, for joining us on this journey through the beyond and other things. And I can't thank my crew here enough for joining me on this amazing
what are you doing
trek. And so Jonesy, where can people find you?
On Twitter, at Jonesy's, as well as Instagram, contributing to the website, and of course, right here on Breaking the Radio Podcast.
Danny Bartlett, where can people find you?
On the Twitterverse, at Danny K. Bartlett, and on Discord, which reminds me, go on to Discord and find the Breaking Geek Radio Podcast thingamajiggy tag, what do you call it?
Channel? Site?
Discussion channel. And let us know what you think about our Dungeons and Dragons characters next week.
Sooner than that. Let us know if you listen to this.
Yeah. Nicholas, where can people find you?
At GeekyNickDoll on Twitter, and I write for the site, and I also do Marvel Multiverse Mondays, and I'm here, and hashtag release the Zemo cut!
Do it.
Release it. We got trending. It was trending for a day, which I thought was silly. It was mostly a joke, but I'd like to see the dance.
Anyway, okay, well, you can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, and all of my books under the name AJ Serna on Amazon and Audible. We have something special coming up, don't we, Jonesy? Is that something that we're sharing? The thing?
Yeah, we can share it now. So this Sunday we're going to be recording a Dungeons and Dragons episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, and that's going to be with Dungeon Master Kevin. So it's going to be very exciting. Log on to the Discord, as Danny said. Let us know what characters you think that we should be. Not the boys. Figure out who we're going to be for this dungeon raid. Should be exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll talk to you later. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Mission accomplished.
Don't get any on ya.
Hasta lasagna.
Accomplished mission.
Never stop running.
Never stop, never stopping.
Don't stop stopping.